Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Most preaching, unfortunately, is about what? It's about healing, it's about faith, it's about heaven. But it's only about what if you listen. And that's not enough. You have to preach about how. When I realized that several years ago, I've tried to mix what and how. Because if you tell people about heaven, but you don't tell them how to get there, you haven't helped them a lot. Or faith, and you don't tell them how to get faith, you haven't helped them a lot. And so when you preach, you should preach not only what, but how. So I want to talk a little bit today and try to help you with a how. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want to talk today about talking to yourself. It's the most important conversation you'll ever have, the one you have with yourself. We have several people that we use for his electrical service around our properties, but we have one electrician, and this guy is disconcerting. I unfortunately worked with him one day on a big project. It was a kind of a dangerous project. He was putting something up in the air, and I never had been around him. This guy talks to himself. He argues with himself. He talks loud to himself. It was so disconcerting, I finally just left it with him. I never seen anything like it. But when I came back, he had that pole up like it ought to be, 30 feet in the air, and that big light hanging on. I don't know how he did, but he talked himself into doing it. There's value in talking to yourself. You may be seated. Speaking to yourself, God not only permits it, but encourages it. You've been talking to yourself, whether you realize it or not. The question is, what have you been saying? Some people are like my electrician friend. They talk, they move their lips, they're audible, they talk loud, they argue, they confer, they discuss. But everybody talks to themselves. Some people, it's more acceptable. They just do it in their brain, and people don't know they're doing it. But everybody talks to themselves. And it's important what you say. The Bible declares that even the wicked talk to themselves in Psalm chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. 7 says, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Even the wicked talk to their self. And you hear them as they curse and they confess every negative thing. They're talking to their self. And it has tremendous effect. My greatest friend I've ever had, Lawrence Bishop, talked to himself. He died at 69 years of age. And Jesse DePlante said, Steve, why did Lawrence die so young? I said, because time and time again, Lawrence used to say, I don't want to be 70. I don't want to get ugly and old. And he did exactly what he said. He was a handsome man still when he died, but he died at 69. He never saw 70. And unlike him, I'm saying I don't mind to be ugly and old. But let me live a long time. Talk to yourself. Those that choose to make a change start with an inward conversation, talking to themselves. The Bible tells us about the prodigal that made terrible decisions in his young life that brought about terrible results. But as bad as his decisions were, as bad as his youthful actions were, that was all corrected, but it started with a conversation. He could have said, when he found himself in the pig pen, I deserve to be here. I'm a pig. That's what I am. That's the reason why I'm here. But that's not what he said. The Bible said when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. He began to talk to himself. Friend, if you ever find yourself on the bottom, begin to talk yourself to the top. Don't confess that you're a pig and you deserve to be where you are. Begin to think about good things and begin to confess them, and I will make a change. I will come out of this. My direction is up. The woman with the issue of blood, she tried everything to be helped, but she could not be helped. Doctors could not help her. For 12 long years, she was in that condition. But her condition changed when this woman that was diseased with the issue of blood said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." So if you find yourself at the bottom, in the pig pen of life, you can begin to talk to yourself and come out. If you find yourself with issues that men cannot resolve for you, you can begin to talk to yourself, and it is the beginning out of those issues. The Bible said that when she talked to herself, when she reached out and touched the hem of God, of Christ's garment, he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter could not understand why Jesus would say that. But Jesus said, "I perceive that the virtue has gone out of me." The things that are most accessible by humanity from God start with a conversation that you have with yourself. You've got to not only believe it, but you've got to audibly begin to speak it. This is going to happen in my life. I hear people say the most negative things about themselves. I heard a pastor tell a story the other day. He said, in my church, a woman came for the very first time. His wife is extremely beautiful, the pastor. But he said, "This was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. I've never seen, not on the movie screen." He said, "No, not on, I've never seen a woman this beautiful." And when I preached and got through and gave the altar appeal, he said, she came out of her pew weeping like her heart was broken. And she stood before him and he said, "How can I help you?" And she said, "Pray for me, I'm so ugly." He said, literally, she was the most beautiful woman that I've ever seen. But he said, she said, "I look in my mirror every day and I say, I wished I didn't look like I look." She had talked herself into that. It's even more important than what you perceive visibly is what you say. Darlene Bishop wrote the book, "Your Life Follows Your Words." You need to talk to yourself. If I can go to my father's house, I will arise and I'm headed there now. I won't be in the pig pen anymore. If I can touch the hem of his garment, this issue that is unsolvable by men will be dried up. Friend, you need to start a conversation with yourself. And it needs to be about the things that you believe and the things that you desire. You need to say them often. You need to say them emphatically. You need to say them loudly. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am more than a conqueror. I am a victor. I am an overcomer. Develop a conversation with yourself. When this woman touched the hem of a garment, I don't know how much she knew about what she was saying. I just know it was the right thing to say. The hem of the garment in the Bible of the high priest is very explicitly blessed because it has pomegranate and the bell. There are two distinct lessons to be learned there. The bell is the sound that you are alive. No matter what the devil says, you are alive. Get up every day and confess, "In him I live. In him I have abundant life." He is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. And I am alive forevermore. The second was the pomegranate. The pomegranate. The pomegranate is a fruit, but it is made primarily, not much of fiber, but primarily of seeds. And so when you touch the hem of his garment, what you're saying is, I have in me the seed of every good thing. I am saying that there is a new beginning. What has been is not important, but what will be is imperatively important. I will touch the hem of his garment. I will go to my father's house. These are amazing confessions that we need to make. I will go to my father's house. There's a reason why the Lord chose as our primary day of worship the first day of the week instead of the last day of the week. You're supposed to come here to the house of God on the first day of the week, and you are to orchestrate how your week is going to be. I will touch the hem of his garment. I will go to the Father's house. I will set a course and establish a paradigm for my week. My week is going to be blessed. My week is going to be victorious. My week is going to be a week of joy. My week is going to be a week of possessing what God said I could possess. Talk to yourself. When you have issues, talk to yourself. When you're at the bottom, talk to yourself. And let God know that you believe his word is true. My text said, and be not drunk with wine, where is it excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I preached on this 25 years ago at TBN. It was not widely received, but I would preach it again. I called it the idol in the bottle. And I find unique this verse that he tucks into this fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, because it seems to be out of place. He's talking about not drinking wine or being drunk with excess. And all of a sudden he diverts and he starts talking about speaking yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I call the sermon the idol in the bottle. If you study the book of Acts, you will find out it said, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But that was not always an initial experience and not always a new group. It was sometimes the same people over and over and over. What's the point? The point is, when you have to turn to wine or spirits or liquor, alcohol, whiskey, when you have to turn to that, it's because you're feeling a little down. You need to be lifted up. You need a little courage. You need a little joy. You need a little motivation to get it through. What Paul is saying, the contrast is this. Instead of turning to the old wine, turn to the new wine. Here is the how. He said, this is how you turn to the new wine, by speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Can I tell you that when we praise God, it is because we love him. We like to say things that are appealing to him. We like to say things that are edifying to him. But the truth is, he said, speaking not to God, but to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What you say to God is really what you're saying to yourself. I know my Redeemer liveth, Job said in the crisis of his time. Friend, don't doubt God. Confess God to your own good. Speak in yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. 20 or 30 years ago, there was a couple that pastored here in town. They pastored a very legalistic church. You just couldn't be tough enough to get saved. No jewelry, no makeup, no television, just on and on and on and on. And one day, one of my parishioners that I'd pastored for some time said, you know who I saw today in the convenience store? I said, I have no idea. Said, I stood right behind her, said she was at the counter making some purchase early in the morning, and said she was singing while she was waiting for the attendant to take care of her, and she was singing a country music song. Now, this was this legalistic pastor's wife. She was singing a country music song about having another lover and leaving her husband. Said, I was so shocked. She didn't know who I was. I just thought it was cute until 2 years after that, she filed a divorce, even though they'd been married 40 years and they separated. I always just wondered what that little song had to do with it. I know in California, I knew a man that pastored a great church. His wife left him, left with a trucker to never come back to the Lord again. And somebody asked her, what happened to you? And she said, it started with country music. She said, I began to sing those songs about cheating. And I wasn't cheating. But she said, I sang them over and over and over again until they became a part of my fabric. And one day I said, I wonder how that would be. And she said, I just happened to find a willing man. And I ruined my life because of the songs I sung. We need to be careful what we're saying. And we need to make sure that we're communicating to ourselves things that are going to be edifying, things that are going to be life-giving, things that are going to be overcoming, things that are going to be victorious. And so he said, your songs, even in church, we need to make sure that the songs that we put up here and the songs we get from various places around the world, we need to make sure that those songs are not only something that lifts up the Lord, but they are something that will cause us to edify ourselves. Because the first person that hears what you say is you, because your ears are very close to your mouth. And so he said, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And when you begin to do that, I'm going to tell you, it will change your life. You will suddenly realize that you can overcome anything that faces you because you begin to speak those things that tell you you're not a grasshopper, you're a giant. You're not a loser, you are a winner. You're not a sinner, you are a saint. You're not unsaved, you are the righteousness of Almighty God. You need to confess that over and over again. Praisers, true praisers, talk to themselves. True praisers talk to themselves. Listen to Psalm 103, verse 1 from the King James Version. The way many of us have heard it all of our lives. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like eagles. That's a wonderful passage. But now listen to what it says in the New and Living Translation. Praise the Lord, I tell myself with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, and I tell myself, never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all of my sins. He heals all of my diseases. He ransoms me from death. He surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, so my youth is renewed as the eagles. Oh, yes. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself about your God. He is not your enemy. He is your friend. He is not your condemner. He is your reconciler. He is not he that taketh from you, but he is he that giveth to you. He is not one that is displeased with you, but he is pleased with you. He is a God that said you are the apple of his eye. He holds you in your hand, his hand, and no man can pluck him out. Yes, talk to yourself. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual things. Talk to yourself every day and say, thank God, look how far I've come. Look what the Lord has done for me. Look how much improvement I've made. Look where I am compared to where I used to be. Look what the Lord has done in my behalf. Look how many people I'm helping. Look what God has changed in me. Talk to yourself. Say, thank God. I praise God for what he's done. But let me talk to myself. As good as it was, it's better now. But as good as it is, it's going to be better tomorrow. There's a better day coming. I am something, but I'm not as good as I'm going to be. Better than I was. But oh, you wait and see. When I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be more powerful. I'm going to be more victorious. Look what the Lord has given me. He's going to give me more than I've ever had. So I can explain to those that know me, look what the Lord has given me. Look what the Lord has done in my life. Oh, I am something. I am so something that the Bible said that Abraham and the prophets desire to look into my experience because the experience that I'm having with God supersedes even the great patriarchs and champions of the Old Testament. I'm glad I'm living in 2018. I'm glad that God saved the best for the last. And I'm the last, but I shall be the first. Talk to yourself. Look what the Lord has done. And look what I have done through the Lord. For the Lord, he is on my side. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Talk to yourself. If you can't find a song that describes your relationship with the Lord, write your own song and sing it every day. Something that will edify you. Something that will point to your expression of love for God and will talk about what God has done for you. Something that portrays the marvelous journey that you are on, and praise God for all that He is, all that He has done, and all that He will be in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet if you would. Everybody in the world has the same feelings you have. We suffer from lack of self-confidence. And you say, oh, I do. But my cousin don't. Say, he just brags all the time. Those people that are bragging and talking all the time, they're just doing their best to overcome. It's all right to acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. It's all right to get up in the morning and preach yourself a little sermon. Look in the mirror and say, praise God. I'm the handiwork of God, created in His image. I can't fail because He said I have to succeed. I can't go under because He said I've got to go over. Before you walk out the door, you need to be sure you talk to yourself so that if anybody says anything negative to you or about you, it's counterbalanced to what you've already said. You're not very pretty. You need to question their eyesight. You're not very smart. You need to question their judgment. You're not very godly. You need to question their spirituality, because you've already told yourself, I'm beautiful, I'm strong, I'm spiritual, I'm an overcomer, I'm smart, I will overcome every weapon that is formed against me through Christ. Friend, it's something you need to practice. I'm telling you not what, but I'm telling you how today. One of the greatest weapons against all the darts of the devil is self-conversation, talking to yourself. It's just amazing when someone says certain little things to me, how good it makes me feel. And so many of you, Brother Leslie's one of my favorite people, because I've never shook his hand that I didn't feel better. That is a gift. That is a gift. There used to be a man by the name of Johnny Chook. He run lumber companies here in San Antonio. He had five of them. Johnny was a Baptist. He and I used to argue about drinking. He loved to drink, but he was a Baptist Christian. But I used to tell Johnny, you're my favorite preacher. He wasn't even a preacher. But I never was around Johnny Chook that I didn't feel better when I walked out the door. I said, Johnny, you got a ministry. You used to have a little handy show on TV where he'd tell you how to fix your toilet and fix the flapper on your toilet and all that kind of stuff. I used to listen to it every Saturday. It wasn't I was having trouble with my flapper. I just wanted to hear Johnny, because there was something about him that was so encouraging. We've got people like this all over this church, that you have the ministry of encouragement. I commend you. It's perhaps the greatest ministry in the world. Because other people have other ministries, but sometimes they're thinking about quitting that ministry. But just you encouraging them keeps them from quitting their ministry. So many of you have the gift of encouragement, and I thank you for that. But I've said all that to say this. I can't get along on your encouragement. I need more than you can give me. I just don't get to shake your hand enough times a day. I don't get to see you enough times a week. And so I have to encourage myself. I have to encourage myself. You're doing good. You're doing great. Somebody told me last night about something that I'd totally forgotten about. But they're making a lot of money in their career. And she said, it was talking about her husband. It started in your office when you told him to do so and so and so. And he said the other day, Steve, or pastor friend, or whatever, he said, he'll always be my pastor. because of what happened in that office, and it started me into my career. That made me feel so good. I'll never feel the same about him. I've always loved him, but now I feel like I've had a part in his life. That's what I really want to do. I want to have a part in your life. I want to tell you about heaven and how to get there. But I also want to tell you how to be a conqueror and how to be a conqueror. I want to have a part in your life, but I want you to have a part in my life. We can encourage one another, but the basic tenet of what I'm saying here today is you have to learn the Word of God, and you have to be able to encourage yourself when nobody else is around or nobody else will, or God forbid they were trying to tear you down. You've got to be able to encourage yourself. Don't listen to the devil, even if he's got long brown hair and brown eyes and a beautiful face. Don't listen to the devil. Even if he's got blonde hair and blue eyes, don't listen to the devil. The devil never shows up with a pitchfork and a tail and horns. He always shows up in the very best costume that he can get. And the best costume the devil can get is the one that's closest to you. Your wife or your husband or your friend or your relative or your neighbor or your brother or sister, that's the devil's best costume. It doesn't mean they're demon-possessed. It just means there's a little gap there. And he just was able to tell them, you know, you really are looking old. That's all the devil need to say. And he said it from somebody that you respect. The worst advice I've ever had has come from a lot of people that I've had a lot of respect and love for. And I shake it off and say, as sweet as they are, they're not perfect every time. And they miss that one because, praise God, I am a good preacher. Praise God, I am a good pastor. Praise God, I am a Christian. Praise God, I am an overcomer. Praise God, I am victorious. You need to develop some selective hearing in your ears and not hear everything that's said. Only hear the things that are going to make you bigger, better, and stronger in Jesus' name. There's somebody in this building right now that you are on the verge of the greatest breakthrough of your life. But if you're not very careful, you will talk yourself out of it. You need to encourage yourself today to take that job, to make that investment, to develop that relationship, to take that step toward God, to fulfill that ministry. And the bottom line, it's not going to be anybody but you. What are you saying to yourself? I'm going to speak to myself as a praiser in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and praise God. I am going to be victorious. If you're in this building right now and you're on the cusp, the precipice of a decision or a relationship, something in your life, and you're just right there, I challenge you to speak the very best thing you can to yourself. Step out of that pew and walk down here and say, praise God, I don't care what my boyfriend says. I don't care what my schoolmate says. I don't care what my boss says. I'm going to take my own spirit's advice based on the hymns and the Word of God, and I am going to be victorious in Jesus' name. Becky is singing. I'm through.